Podcast One Sports presents Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast. Every Tuesday, you can hear Jack Harbaugh.
We're going to attack this day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Jim Harbaugh.
What the hell's going on around here?
And JT Rogan share their stories from on and off the field. Past guests include John Harbaugh, ESPN's Adam Schefter, and Pardon My Takes, PFT and Big Cat. So don't miss an episode of Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast. Every Tuesday, exclusively on PodcastOne.com and the new Podcast One app. Just a sample of what's coming to Podcast One Sports.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that, right, Drewski?
We do, and I've got so much stuff. I'm to scatter all my goodness over multiple shows, I think.
Go ahead. What do you got? What are you thinking about?
I'm thinking, man, I need to buy a generator for earthquake preparedness, don't I?
Yeah.
With a gas-powered generator?
Yeah.
The hurricane thing got through to me. I'm like, what is the matter with me that I don't have a generator in my garage?
Yeah.
Used to run a refrigerator if I need one or
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about that sort of weird wiring, which is
– but I'm ready. I'm ready to do it now. The question is, what's the right one? And the price ranges are all over the place.
I literally – can I tell you how bad my wiring is?
Yeah.
I will travel to places where it's raining on the other side of the country and not have a rain jacket because it's not raining here. And it's like, hey, man, it's hot. Sun's shining. Like, what would you need something? What do you need a slicker for? Look at the sun.
Is that denial or lack of ability to predict or plan? What is that?
It's something I'd like to work on.
Yeah.
And I am.
So planning then.
I think of it
as a planning issue. Always think it just the way you think about what toiletries do I need? What clothes do I need for? What weather might it be? And you got it on your phone. You can look at the exact weather the next day.
No excuses. It just kind of is. Like I found myself on, you know, other parts of the country without a rain jacket a million times.
If I'm coming from hot and going to snow, I frequently misjudge. Or not even snow. It's sort of that in-between cold. I'll misjudge it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a weird, big, fat hole in my game. Now, speaking of games, you taking your cold showers in the morning?
Every morning. Think of you, sir.
Now.
Getting better at it.
How do you do it?
I do it towards the end of my shower.
Puss.
Hold on. I'm usually kind of busy. I get shit done. I got to get out of there. But I will always, I have to shave in the shower because I cut myself if I don't for some reason. So I will usually.
The shave in the shower.
Yeah. Lately, I will shave in the cold.
Ooh.
And I will turn it all the way to the cold and just stand in the cold while I shave.
Uh-huh.
Works okay. And then
here's what I'd like to see.
What I miss with that is I don't get the cold water over my head. So I'll also at the end do that.
I'd like you to up your game a little.
I'm ready.
Because now.
You've told me to go in the pool. I've got to figure that
out. It's not pool yet, but we're coming to the pool.
Okay.
That's going to be good. There's a couple things I like. Here's what I'd like you
to. I have to do exactly the way.
Here's what I like see at. Here's what I'd like. Where you go from hot water.
I actually have to give you a blowjob first. That how we
that's what I'd like. Well, here's what I'd like to see.
I'd like to see your
bald spot next to my nads. So here's the deal. Nads. Here's what I'd like, Drew.
Yeah.
Going hot to cold.
Oh, yeah.
It's all well and good.
Yeah.
And it's been a nice little starter, you know, dinner salad for you and your quest
program.
For greatness. Yeah. But it's time to start ratcheting it up.
So go in with the cold.
Not only go in with the cold, because we all know that when it's hot, it's sort of like you can. It's going from the, you know, from the hot tub running across the snow into the house and turning on the whatever.
Scandinavians would argue that's the way to do it.
No, it is. But once you get that core warm, it's a little easier to deal with.
Even though I'll stand there for quite some time in the cold.
All right, I appreciate that.
And by the way, I have found that I don't think about it.
I know, it's good.
I've gotten to the point where I don't think about it.
But I do want you to think about it.
You want misery.
No, here's what I want.
Associate your name with misery.
That's what I want. Yeah, here's what I realize. I realize that the stuff that's kind of the first burst is sort of the coldest.
Well, I would argue
the stuff that's in the pipes, you know, overnight when it's kind of at its coldest.
No, I think it's something a little more sinister, which is
it's both.
Yeah, but you're right that the first burst is more difficult. But I think the reason is I've noticed that I have a pussy thermostat in my body.
Right.
Right? And it doesn't like want to get – doesn't want to adjust to hot when it's hot out or cold when it's – it just wants the ambient temperature to adjust on my behalf.
Right.
Right? And so it's gotten like – weirdly, I feel like my body, like my autonomic nervous system is like lazy.
Right.
And it's especially lazy after I've been sleeping.
Right.
And so that hit is especially jarring, right?
Yeah. So what I would say is in order to ratchet it up psychologically and a little thermostatically is stand under it and turn it on full cold right at the beginning.
Now because of
that'll hit you.
Hold on. I have found that the area of the body that strangely is the most jarring is sort of the back of the neck and the low back. That's mm-hmm. where that's really where it goes, okay, now it's cold.
Right.
And the head. Do I have to put it over my head
yes.
right away?
You First must thing. Step in.
So all three all at once.
Well.
Everything all at
I'm
once.
I'm not – just step well,
if
in.
If you go over your head, you're going to get your back.
Just step in and turn it on
all right.
cold
all right.
and just let it hit.
Okay.
Because psychologically, that's a – much tougher threshold to cross
yep.
than make it warm, get in, yep. kind of get acclimated, get a little blood flowing, okay. and then start to ease right. it over to a
right.
cold.
Gauntlet's
so that's
down,
you've been doing it for a year.
It's down.
Now just step into the cold. Now,
just step in the cold.
Also, don't ever turn it hot. Just leave it cold the whole time.
I'm not there yet.
All right. Well, let's get you to the stepping into
I'm
the cold.
All about it. I agree that that's a good.
And then, how long will you be in the cold before you turn it to hot?
I don't know because it's going to be a whole new experience, I think. I mean, I will do 3 to 5 minutes normally
right.
in the way
okay.
I've been doing it now. But this is going to be different.
Let's talk about fear, Drew.
Okay. Guess what fear. About fear.
I who did I do on the last Take a Knee?
Did you tell me what generator buy yet?
Huh? The last one we recorded or the last one that aired?
Last one we
did
recorded.
Did you tell me what generator buy yet? No.
Right. Oh, what generator?
You know?
Yeah, the thing about generators, they have ones that run off of natural gas, which are good, but with the big
gasoline.
Earthquake, you want gasoline.
Yeah.
All right, that's fine, but you have to add Stabil.
What's that?
It's an additive to the fuel. You don't want the fuel to go bad. Like, you have to kind of keep the fuel.
I also put on my Amazon shopping list a can, you know, a gas can, right?
I would argue I would argue that if you're talking about what you're talking about, I'm not a generator expert, but you'd want one that not only runs off gasoline, but a hopper more than a 5 gallon bucket of gas. I mean, what if that thing needs to run for 3 days, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Interesting.
What would that look like?
Well, I can tell you this. You buy generators, and they'll basically go, here's how many amps it's good for.
Yeah.
So they'll go, I'll make this up. It's 120 amps.
Mm.
All right? Fine. You can now choose 6 20-amp breakers to heat up in your house. Now, your house has 30 20-amp heaters or breakers.
Mm-hmm.
So you pick the fridge upstairs, and you pick the heater unit downstairs, and you pick the hall lights or the den so you can watch the TV. You know, pick your
–
you can kind of go, I'll take this generator and I'll pick 4 breakers, or I'll take this generator and I'll pick 8 breakers, or I'll step it up to the deluxe one. I can pick 12 breakers. But you pick your most important breakers.
Yeah.
Then you figure out how often – and now a good generator also will kick on by itself periodically to keep the – fuel and the spark and the whole thing to test itself. You know what I mean? It'll just like once a month, like fire up for 5 minutes and shut off again.
Big one. You're talking about a big deal.
No, not big deal stuff. I've had stuff that's been smaller. And like I said, they have ones that run off natural gas and then ones that run off of maybe both. And then there's maybe ones that I think run off like propane, like you get a big propane tank there. But either way, you're going to want to have it run for a little while. Okay. Yeah. Cheryl Hunter, I was talking to. She's a woman who was abducted and raped and survived and now writes about it. But she was talking about everyone being fear-based. And I kept explaining to her that I'm not really fear-based. And she'd say, well, everyone's fear-based. And I would say that, I mean, everyone, yes, no one wants to get eaten by a Kodiak bear, but I don't come from fear-based.
People have different kinds of fear experiences. Some people are turned on by fear. Some people like seek it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's a different kind of wiring.
Yeah. But
what I mean is
no, I know what yours is. I get it. Yours, you have no pulse.
No pulse.
Yeah.
But also no whatever. Like yeah. I was talking to Matt and Matt said to me, Willie T. Ribs doc, what do you think? Is it getting into Sundance? Is it not getting into Sundance? I mean it was submitted to Sundance and I said, I don't know. He said, what do you think, though? Like, what are you hoping for? Like, what do you, whatever? And I said, I don't think about it. And he said, why not? And I said, because it's already been submitted. There's nothing, I can't. Once I'm done affecting something, I'm done thinking about it.
Yeah.
They'll let us know.
Yeah.
There are times I think, yeah, I think we will get in. There are times I think, no, we're never going to get in. But I don't think about it because I can't change it.
Yeah.
I wish more people were sort of wired about, maybe it's the atheist. Gene.
No.
Or I don't know what gene it is, but once it's done.
Your autonomic nervous system is tuned down.
But what's that have to do with not thinking about stuff?
Because your body isn't tuned up, and then your brain starts worrying. When your body goes, that when the pulse goes up, that generates the worry.
Yeah, well, I can very much think about other things that are coming up.
Mm-hmm. But you don't worry. Think about it and worry are two different things.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I dread sometimes, but I don't worry. Yeah. Okay.
Different.
All right. Anyway, let's not be fear-based, people. No. Court, 38, Tucson?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's up?
Sup?
How you doing? Ace Man.
What's going on?
Big Bad Drew.
Hey, now.
So, look, I've got MS, and I've been smoking grass. To kind of just quell the symptoms of it. And I'm just kind of getting tired of the whole thing.
What whole
I'm
thing?
I'm getting tired of just smoking dope just to feel better, you know. And I've been smoking grass a long time. I was diagnosed with MS about 6 years ago. The doctors think I've had it for about 20 years. And, you know, honestly, they said, look, you wouldn't be walking if you hadn't been smoking. So, but, you know, I'm 38 now.
The doctor said you wouldn't be walking if you hadn't been smoking?
Because it's helping your spasticity?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And it keeps the exacerbations down. And I've stopped, for 3 or 4 months. And then I end up in the hospital. And they have to pump me full of solumedrol. I'm in there for 3 or 4 days, and then I'm fine. Then I go right back to smoking because I just don't want to feel like that. But I'm tired of the whole thing. And,
hold on. You say smoking, but are we talking about ingesting or are we talking about smoking?
Ingesting, smoking, typically smoking, but, I mean, I do have, like edibles. And so, I mean, I have a license from Arizona, but...
How do you know how much to take?
Well, you know, I don't. I mean, I don't necessarily know how much to take.
What are your neurologists telling you?
My neurologists are telling me that, you know, that I should be on a disease-modifying drug.
Why aren't you?
I am.
Okay.
I am. I recently was on Tecfidera, but now I stopped doing that.
Why?
But now I'm on a new one because of the flushing it was causing and you know... but now I'm on a new one called Ocrevus.
Okay.
And, you know, I had the first infusion last April, and it's twice a year, so I'm just waiting for my next one.
Cool.
And I'm fine, but, like, I did myself a little experiment, and I stopped for 4 days, and then, boom, it feels like steel bands being tightened around your body.
Well, that's just the withdrawal. Everybody feels that when they stop high levels of pot.
You think so?
I think so. I've treated it 1,000 times. Talk to your doctor about getting some Neurontin. That can be very helpful sometimes for that.
Well, Drew, what about we talk about dosing. You know, what about the pills that just have the active,
CBD
ingredient in it and being able to really measure definitively?
The problem is we have no research to know what's going on here. That's why I'm kind of concerned that the doctors say, hey, just use that. It's like, well, how much? How long? What part?
Well, CBD, do they have THC pills or CBD? I mean, 2 grams or I'll break one in half and have it in the morning.
Greg Grubber's going to be here in a few minutes. He'll tell you all about that. He uses it for epilepsy for his kid.
Right. So it'd be nice if, first off, we could sort of go, I will take one pill or a half pill in the morning.
We don't have the research. We just don't. This is the hideous part about it.
No, I know we don't have the research, but do we have the pills in grams?
I don't know about the pills, but the liquid. I don't know about the pills.
All right, we do have the pills. Okay. Well, so what I'm saying is you take a pill and you leave.
Yeah.
And then you go, it's not working, or I need more, or this is too much. You go, I'll take half a pill, or I'll take a pill and a half. Okay. I mean, just to be able to dose it without going, I'm going to have half a bong load and part of a brownie.
Right. But, Gary, hold on. You were so adamant about the amounts there. My understanding is that when people test the amounts in these products, it's all over the place because it's not.
There is certainly a wide range of variety in the companies and what their trustworthiness is.
Not even trustworthy. There is stuff that every time it gets tested, it's because it's not controlled. They don't have to have it to a certain standard.
Of course.
So it's not a pharmaceutical.
I don't know that we're going to be able to give you an answer. My gut is that you try.
Well, I don't understand why the doctors are so passive with all this and not helping you. There's a ton to be done.
Well, because the doctors don't know either. You know, all they have is anecdotal evidence that says, yeah, a lot of my patients are dope smokers, and they can go through life, functioning. But at the same time, I don't want to smoke dope my whole life just so I can function. Like I can't even get a job because you got a drug test for it.
Yeah.
So now I'm just like, well, screw it. I've got all these tools. I called Adam last year, told him I was doing my bathroom, called a Pexin. I'm just going to go off on my own and try to make money being a carpenter. And if that's what I got to do, then that's what I got to do. And at the same time, I want to try to be as healthy as I can be and not just be stoned.
All right, so get it down to a minimum amount. But realize a lot of what you're talking about is withdrawal symptoms. So maybe really slowly taper it down and see how you do with that.
All right.
The big problem you're going to find is more spasticity that's related to the withdrawal.
Is that, the movements?
The muscle spasms.
Right.
And the sleeplessness, which is going to be terrible, that the people really get troubled by. All right.
I had a weird dream last night.
What?
I was walking down the sidewalk last night. Not in my dream. In my dream, I transferred this thing that happened to my dream last night.
Okay.
It was a weird dream.
It was something that happened to you while you were walking down the sidewalk?
In my last night, I was walking down the sidewalk, and I literally tucked in behind three young working girls, like 23-year-old girls. Like I just sort of happened
to walk with them.
Well, there's certain times when you're walking across, you're coming down a walkway, three girls are walking down the thing at night, and you actually walk in, and next thing you know, you're walking behind them.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of weird because I saw one of them or two of them sort of looked over their shoulder a couple of times.
Yeah, some weird dark-haired dude in a baseball cap.
6'2", and I'm walking behind him at night, and they want to know why I'm behind him. I totally get it.
Yeah.
And, I was profiled.
You were profiling.
One of the girls was black, and she looked at me. That's profiling. Mm-hmm. She shouldn't be looking. The point is this.
She has reason to profile.
As they walked past my Jag, I sort of slowed down. I was try to give them their space. I don't like it when people – there's way too many people that do that move where it's like you're walking down the sidewalk and they're walking behind you, and you're like – look, dude, I don't want to have to stop and look around, but there are enough weirdos out there that just whack people over the head with hammers and stuff, and you're 4.5 feet behind me, and we've been walking for 2 blocks, and could you just stop or, make a phone call or do something and give us a little berth here and then pick it up again? It's a little – you're not a criminal. I don't know you're not a criminal, and you're walking behind me.
Is that what you explained to these girls?
I stopped and gave them a little space, and when I stopped and gave them a little space – all three of them walked past my Jag, And they all commented, ooh, that's a great, great color blue. And then I hit the alarm and clicked it right when they were saying it. And then they all sort of turned around and look and then went, oh, the serial rapist is driving the cool blue Jag. And I said, you know, thanks for the compliment. And then like one of them commented, like, that's as good as a compliment gets, because when you don't know the person is within earshot, yeah. It's totally organic.
Yeah.
Later on, I had a dream.
Okay.
I'll tell you about it after.
Well, this is not an ad I'm looking at.
What are you looking at?
I'm looking at a letter from the Vatican to you.
The Vatican to me?
Yeah.
Did not know about this. All right. Well, let me tell you about LifeLock, and then you tell me.
No, I want to hear about the dream after LifeLock.
Oh, the dream, and then the Vatican.
Yeah, maybe tomorrow the Vatican. I don't know.
You can't do that. Yes, you can't do that.
It's called a
tease. Yeah, but not a two-day tease. Yeah. LifeLock, man, Equifax recently announced a breach that could affect 143 million Americans. I know, I got a notice from my accountant about this. 200,000 credit card numbers were accessed, plus personal data, including Social Security numbers. Listen, people, if you don't have LifeLock, boy, I mean, if you didn't have LifeLock before, you better have it now.
Yeah. That is the truth. That's just the truth.
The truth is...
Yeah. It's just factually accurate. If you don't have it, you better have it.
You better have it. Detects a wide range of identity threats you may miss just by monitoring your credit, like someone stealing from your 401k. These guys owe me a debt of gratitude. You know that?
Who's these guys?
My employees.
Yeah.
I don't offer a 401k. See? Looking out for you.
Hero.
That could have been breached if it existed, but because it doesn't exist, it can't be breached. How can you breach something that doesn't exist?
I understand.
You're welcome. Anyway, if there's a problem, their U.S.-based identity restoration specialist will work to fix it, but you won't have one. You got LifeLock, Drew.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you see more threats to your identity. Go to LifeLock.com. Or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use promo code ADAM, A-D-A-M, for 10% off your LifeLock membership. Visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now with the promo code ADAM.
All right. What'd you get from the Vatican?
Well, Caleb Bacon's a friend of mine. He's a podcaster. And he says, over the years, I've developed a friendship with an American Monsignor serving at the Vatican. Under the Pope, directly. And he gave me permission to share the following with you. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for tweeting Adam Carolla's presentation to Congress. I've always liked his stuff, as he is on target with so much. His subject matter goes a bit far afield for a priest, so I don't subscribe to his podcast, but he is always to the point on matters like what he said to Congress. I do pray for him once in a while, as I think he considers himself faithless. But with a name like that...
Adam.
Right. With a name like that... He maybe might have been or should have been Catholic at one time or another.
Probably.
There you go.
That's nice. That's Monsignor whom?
Monsignor. I don't have the whole name.
I don't think we ever got a name.
No, we didn't. Also, from my little experience, I understand and agree with your assessment, Mr. Kroll. Of course, just the American outlook used to include so much about being decent, doing unto others, doing the right thing, not taking advantage. But what I have read and heard from him... He is defined by that, and many others are like that too. What
is that? I realize I have an obsession with truth and an obsession with like decency or
fairness.
Yeah. I have this in when I see.
But you have the
I have an obsession with the.
We've called it the scale of justice in your head, right?
You know what I most look at it as? Yeah. I most look at it as. Two modalities, the modality for me and then the modality for everyone else. Mm. The way I treat my stuff and the way I treat your stuff.
Okay.
You know, that modality. The carpenters who I would work with who are very particular about their tools and how they treat stuff. And then when they borrowed one of your tools, it was just covered with goo and they'd hand it back to you. You know, and it wasn't that you were a slob. It was that you had two modes, your mode and then my tool mode.
Right.
I wouldn't mind it if I looked at your tools and they were covered with crap, too. I just didn't like the fact that you had your way of doing it for your stuff and then another super laissez-faire, you know, the people that don't do anything for charity or pay their taxes or do anything and then claim that everyone should pay their fair share and point at other. Those are the people I have no time for. Those are the people who drive me nuts. And I think, I mean, I realize what it is. Like, it's a familial thing. I mean, the time my mom held up the Dom Perignon champagne and said, oh, maybe we have some of your fantastic champagne. And I said, that's not mine. That's yours. I got it for you for Mother's Day. And she hid it under her sweater. I realized that's two separate modes. That's, yeah. I would like some of your champagne for free. Oh, this is my bottle. Oh, I'm providing free champagne. Oh, now I'm going to go hide it under a sweater. Now, is it, do I like champagne or do I not like champagne? No, it's
so weird.
Whose is it?
What a weird switch to throw.
Well, the thing that's insane about that switch is it wasn't me, Lynette, and a couple of homeless folk we brought in from the shelter. The only people in the living room were the husband, the daughter, the son, and the mom. Yeah. There wasn't anybody outside of a, you know, there wasn't, oh, you know, wasn't, oh, pedophile Uncle Ernie's been paroled. And, you know, he's an alcoholic. Right. There wasn't any of that. It was just literally the most immediate of families. And even that, no fly. That I don't like. I don't mind. I don't want your champagne and you can't have my champagne. And I don't mind. I'll drink your champagne and you can drink my champagne. But what I don't like is the two very different postures to the same thing. The top of the pyramid is I enjoy champagne. Where it gets far apart is who's providing the champagne. Then when you start getting preachy about people needing to provide more champagne because there are other people that don't have champagne, then it really jumps the shark for me. And that's where I have a problem.
Right.
And that's what I don't understand. Do you?
Yeah. Which is when it was you, you need to be generous. When it's mine, we're going to keep it for me.
Gonna hide
it's very
it.
Simple
and if you
need more generous
if you really want to distill it down to just how sort of it's the opposite of being a parent, a mother, a family member, it was provided to her for free.
But understand the that whole, her thing
just
is,
hear me,
I guess
she didn't pay $120. I gave
it's
it to
yours,
her
so it's, technically
it's all gravy.
Yeah, but it's this weird kind of, now, you have stuff, so you need to share. I'm going to go take mine and hold. But even if she had stuff, guess what? She'd still be holding on to it.
Oh, yeah. Well, what do you mean? She did have stuff. Right. I gave her a free bottle.
Right.
It's like it
no,
is.
But I mean, let's say she was rich all of a sudden. She'd still not be paying her fair share. She'd still be complaining about everybody else.
That's true, but there's never the possibility that someone like that gets rich.
Yeah.
And that's the part that nobody ever knows. You can't be wired that way and go out and get rich. You want to know why? It's all relationships. Mm. You get rich off of relationships. You don't get rich off of fooling people, bilking people, or taking their money. You get rich
of
off of relationships. It started to dawn on me.
You've not said that in a long time. I believe
or
it's
ever.
True. Yeah.
No. Well, if you're saying new, then you mean ever, really.
I mean that I remember.
It started dawning on me that the guy who was the most generous with his time and his money and his time, his money, and his resources was Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
That's the guy who was the most generous. Yeah. And the guy who'd be like the least generous would be like my dad, Ray, my mom, you know, folks like that. And it's, and oh, other guys, another friend of mine named Dave, you know, just other guys like that. And I started realizing, wait a minute, Jimmy has so much more and they have almost nothing. And I've realized because he's cultivated these relationships mm-hmm. his entire life. You know, he met Carson Daly when Carson was 12. You know,
yeah.
He's cultivated a relationship with me. I haven't made him rich, but I've made him hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars over the years. He's made me more, but I've made him, when so
but
has everybody.
Argue, you could argue, though, even without those kinds of specifically
enhancing. Oh, not specific.
Hold on.
Yes.
Hold on, yeah. Just being the kind of person that is giving and warm, and people want to be in business with that person and have relationship with that person and develop things with that person. Did you notice? I noticed
relationships
this,
make get will get well, you paid.
One of my best friends went to Harvard Business School, and the first thing they taught him was business is relationships. That's what business is, relationships. Period. And did you notice when when Veep won the Emmy this year, the producer got up and said, look, we have a policy in our – I love everybody here, and I can tell you that one of the reasons I love everybody here, we have a no-jack-off policy. Meaning people miss that part. People don't want to be around people they don't want to be around.
Yep.
Because they can choose not to be. That's just the way it is.
It is a – it's everything. It's rarely discussed.
Yeah.
There's this sort of adage of like, hey, man, you got to screw him before he screws
you because
he's trying to screw you and all that stuff.
No.
And then, no. The only discussion should be it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Build those relationships and then harvest.
And spread.
And spread.
Yeah.
Harvest and spread.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
In a weird way, that's why giving to the government is so disturbing, because they misuse it, misallocate it, and squander these things that should be spread.
I agree.
Yeah.
All right. Not Taco Bell material. That'll be Friday, October 13th, Minneapolis Music Hall. Come on out and say hi. Saturday, October 14th, Nashville Polk Theater, man. That'll be that Saturday. And then me and Dennis Prager, November 29th, Brooklyn, New York King's Theater. Tomorrow night, Irvine Improv with Jay Moore up on stage in Irvine. We love Irvine. We always sell it out. It's always a good show, and Jay is so good on stage.
Go to Dr. Drew.com. Check out the family of pods there. We've got a lot of stuff going on.
So, until next time, I'm Crawford, Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.